Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee. The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes, you are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. And it is another week of the offseason, rolling and rolling and rolling. We're 1 week away from the NFL Combine. So, of course, we'll need to get into that just a little bit. Not too much, because next week we'll have that Combine coverage for you. But there's a lot to look at, so we'll jump in. And a lot to talk about with this first pick for the Titans. So we got that. We got Avery Williamson, former Titans linebacker. He has a lot of things going on in the Nashville area. So we'll see what he's got. We'll catch up with him. And we'll kind of go back down memory lane there and see some of his fond memories and maybe not so fond memories of his time here in Nashville with the Titans. He's a guy I know back in the day a lot of fans liked, and they loved his energy. So looking forward to talking to him. In the meantime, we got Parker Kelly over here. Parker, what's going on?
What's going on, TD?
Hey, man, it's another day, another dollar. This snow tried to come and make us holler, but it's going to have to come back another time because – or no, it doesn't have to come back another time because it got dusted away pretty quickly, man. I'm happy about that.
Did you make sure to get your milk and bread from the grocery store?
You know what? I didn't take part in the apocalypse shopping this go round. It just irks me, you know, walking through the store and you're in the market and the shelves are empty and just the over shopping. So I avoided that, man. I already had, you know, some things in here. I told my daughter, I said, you know, Devin, if we need anything, we're just going to do good old Uber Eats and make it happen. You know, that's the way I looked at it. How about you?
Nothing wrong with that. No, I stocked up on Monday, so I was all good. I avoided the snow.
There you go. That's good stuff. Well, I tell you what, another group that needs to avoid the snow, the dangers of the snow, if you want to call it that, is this Titans front office. And they have the first pick. A lot of reports about trading down are beginning to come out, even though, you know, it's something that they said over a month ago. But what do you make of those trade down rumors and things that you're hearing?
Yeah, so if I'm the Titans, I wouldn't want to trade back any farther than 4 or 5, because I'm sure you saw that Matt Miller article on ESPN, and he had 12 players that were given a first-round grade. And I read that, and it kind of concerned me, because if the Titans were to trade back too far, I'm worried that they would not get a game-changing player. So I saw some trade scenarios where the Titans could potentially trade with the Giants or maybe even the Browns. But if I'm the Titans, I don't want to move back any further than 4 or 5.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So if you move back 4 or 5, who are your target players?
Well, if I'm trading back with the Giants, I'm assuming that they're going to want to get someone like Shedeur Sanders, which would mean that either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter would still be available. I struggle to believe that Abdul Carter is going to fall to 4, because I believe the Browns might want to get him if he's available there. But that would leave somebody like Travis Hunter, who we've both been high on, that would leave him available. So that would be an ideal situation for the Titans if they were to trade back.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. For me, you know, I wonder what Cleveland's going to do at 2. They really, like, Cleveland holds the key to a lot of this if you move back. Because you look, obviously, they want to trade Myles Garrett. If they're able to get Myles Garrett up out of there, then, you know, obviously they're going to need a pass rush. And Abdul Carter is a very, very good pass rusher. So I wonder what would happen there, too, because at the same time, they need a quarterback. So, you know, they're kind of in the same situation as the Titans, frankly. And that's why I guess these teams are picking 1 and 2. At least the Giants, you got Brian Burns in there. You got, you know, the other guy that they drafted. His name is slipping my mind. He was a high pick.
Kayvon Thibodeau.
Thibodeau, right, out of Oregon. They got him. So they don't as much need a pass rusher. I think, you know, the Giants, you could almost count on it, bank on it for them to take a quarterback. So 1, 2, 3, you got a quarterback there. Or, if, you know, the Giants flip up to 1, they're going to take a quarterback. So at 3, you will have your choice to, you know, one of the position players or both of them. you know, or possibly a quarterback. So when you look at that, right, we know the Giants, if they move up to one, Shedeur Sanders is the one. Because, look, man, like, Brian Daboll, he follows Shedeur like a guy that's trying to holler at a pretty woman. You know what I mean? around the party. He made sure that he was in Shador's vision range pretty much the whole couple of days of practice at the Shrine game. And then also the interactions, you know, between that as well, like, you know, in the team hotel. So I say all that to say, the Giants, they move up. It's Shedeur Sanders. Now you're at two. Let's say the Browns trade Myles Garrett and draft Abdul Carter. You're sitting at three. What do you do?
Depending on who the quarterbacks are that avail. So in this situation, we're assuming that the Titans have traded with the Giants, correct?
Right, that's what I'm saying. The Giants move up to one. They take Shedeur. The Browns take Abdul Carter. What do you do?
I would probably go Travis Hunter because I'm more certain that he's going to be a player that would be able to contribute right away. And I know I've mentioned on the podcast before with Cam Ward, I believe that his ceiling is very high, but he's not going to be one of those guys that you want to play right away. So depending on, and I know you mentioned this last week, so I kind of want to piggyback off of this, but depending on how things go in free agency for the Titans, if the Titans were to get a bridge quarterback like a Sam Darnold or a whoever, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, whomever, then I would feel a lot better about getting Cam Ward with the pick. But assuming there's no bridge quarterback that's signed, I'd want Travis Hunter.
So do you feel this team is in a position to sign a free agent quarterback, like you mentioned Sam Darnold? That's going to be a significant portion of the salary cap. Like, that's going to be a high price if they sign him and then turn around and draft Cam Ward. Do you think they're in a position to do that?
Honestly, no, because I worry that Brian Callahan's leash is going to be very short this year, considering, you know, the organization is ready to win now. And I've seen a lot of media heads talk about the Titans' overall foundation is pretty solid, but what they're lacking is a quarterback. And I worry that the front office is not going to have, specifically Amy Adams Strunk, is not going to have enough patience with Brian Callahan this year if things aren't turned around in a drastic way.
Yeah, I think that Patriots, and ironically the Patriots, are sitting there at four, just, you know, picking at whatever you don't take at three if you do the trade. But I think that Patriots game, when that schedule comes out, just circle that, put a star next to it, everything you can, because that game, that's going to be a huge indicator of what Brian Callahan's future is. He has to win that game, you know what I mean? So you look at that. But getting back to the roster, and so many times when you're looking at this situation, people compare the Commanders situation. And obviously, you know, Jaden Daniels came in, and he was an MVP candidate as a rookie quarterback. And you saw how he put that team on his back, right? Went into Detroit, the number one seed, and belt to you-know-what, you know, as the Eagles, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson says. You know what I mean? They whooped their tail, you know what I mean? And then, obviously, it didn't go well against the Eagles. But nevertheless, he had this team going from the number two overall pick to the NFC championship game. That's a huge transition. But let's not get it twisted. They made other moves, like they signed players. And their roster, to me, pre-free agency, wasn't much better than this Titans roster, quite frankly. And so when you look at that, I do feel timely, good free agent signings, a quarterback that plays well could put you in the playoffs. Now, not AFC, NFC championship game, like not AFC championship game, but I think if they get a Shedeur in here, if they get a Cam Ward in here, they add a pass rusher, they add a playmaker in a free agency, you know, do these things, add a right tackle, a right guard, or bring Dellen Radins back, one or the other. If they do these things, that roster can become ready to go and ready to compete for a playoff spot right here this season.
Yeah, and if you were looking at the roster at the beginning of last offseason, you would have thought that this team could have competed for an AFC playoff spot. But a lot of that was largely dependent on how Will Levis did, and things didn't go well this year. And you still look at the roster, like Calvin Ridley, I still think he has a lot left in the tank. Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat have really solidified the inside of that defensive line. Harold Landry is a guy that I think will be interesting to see what he can do this year and, you know, his whole contract situation. But I definitely think that the Titans would need to add another pass rusher, definitely get some help at inside linebacker. There's a lot of holes, but overall I'd say the start of the foundation is decently solid, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's pretty solid, the start of the foundation. And it's just, you know, you sprinkle a few pieces in, right? Trey Smith, you know, Jedrick Wills. You know, these are guys, I don't think you have enough money to sign both of them, but I think, you know, you sign one of them. And like, to me, if I had to pick of it, I would sign Jedrick Wills and re-sign Dylan Raidens. You know, if you sign Trey Smith, you know, you're going to have to still go out and find a tackle. Now, there are some guys, like if you look, you know, at pick 35, there are some guys that you could, you know, you could bring in and that would actually be a good player, like Ariante Ursary out of Minnesota. You know, I think he's going to be there at the top of the second round. So, you know, you sign Trey Smith, you draft Ursary, you have a rookie starting at right tackle next to an established veteran, a high-priced veteran at guard. And the center situation, once Cushenberry comes back, and then obviously the left side is solidified, right, with J.C. Latham and Peter Skoronski. So you could shore up that line pretty fast. You know what I mean? It's just doing things the right way. So I think if they go out and they make some of those moves, they could be a really good, a solid team. I don't want to say really good, get ahead of myself, but they could be a good team. But getting back to this pick at number three, if Shedeur Sanders, let's say the Giants traded up and they drafted Cam Ward and Shedeur was there at three, what would you do then?
I'd probably feel more comfortable taking Shedeur because I've mentioned he's more polished. He's ready to play right away, whereas Cam probably needs a little bit more time to develop. And I was high on Shedeur. If he would have entered the draft last year, I would have been just as high on Shedeur Sanders. I love what I saw out of him his past 2 years at Colorado. And people see that 4-8 record from his first season at Colorado and think, you know, Shedeur Sanders isn't a winner. And that cannot be further from the truth. Considering
they were 1-11.
Exactly. Considering where they were 2 years ago to where they were this past season at 9-4 and making a bowl game and being ranked, the spotlight was on Colorado. And that's something that program hasn't seen in a long time. Shedeur Sanders is most definitely a winner, and I'd feel comfortable taking him at three.
I like that. And that's kind of what I was looking to get from you, what your feelings were as far as Shedeur Sanders versus Cam Ward. So I think it's kind of clear now. So, all right. So let's say we know the Giants trade up is going to be Shedeur. So you decided, you said Travis Hunter over Cam Ward, right?
Yep.
Okay. So you're at three. Now, if you bypass the quarterback, that means you're either A, willing to run it back with Will Levis, or B, you will have, well, you've probably signed a veteran regardless if you decide not to take a quarterback. So what level is your trust in running it back with Will Levis?
Not very high. I know there are some people that are still high on Will Levis. I'm not one of those people. I would rather sign a bridge quarterback for a year. Or I know Kyle McCord is someone you've talked about a lot, and I really like Kyle McCord. Maybe taking a chance on him with a later pick, you know, that would be a player that I would be high on. Maybe even like a Will Howard or something like that. But I do not feel comfortable running it back another year with Will Levis.
So you mentioned veterans. Now, Kyle McCord, Will Howard, like those are solid options. I don't know that I would take a quarterback in the third, fourth round and expect them to start. I think that would be one of the ones where you have Levis going or whoever the veteran is going, and then you bring McCord, Howard, you have them start later in the year, if not next year. But you mentioned something, the veteran quarterbacks. So I want to Actually, you know what? We'll do it in the next segment. We'll do this in the next segment because I think this is a good opportunity to have a little exercise here. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and go to a break. We'll be right back with a little more of this conversation.
This is Will Levis, and I'm talking with TD.
Luke Skywalker on these haters. Celebrate every day like a birthday. Things come.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. Man, you heard Will Levis bring us back. My man Miguel, that's one of my favorite artists. Yo, side note, I cannot wait till the Roots Picnic to go see Miguel, man. Tam's going to be there. That's going to be that weekend's going to be a movie. I definitely, got off subject, but it's all good, man, because every time I hear Miguel now, I think to how that experience is going to be at the Roots Picnic. But nevertheless, Will Levis, he brought us back. We're going to continue the conversation because, Parker, you and I, we talked about Levis, and you mentioned him as someone that you would not have the utmost confidence in if he were to come back as the quarterback. Now, we know he was benched last year, and we got to see a little bit of what happened when he came back. He played so-so football in that final game. Wasn't really much to be excited about, but he's going to work out with Jordan Palmer, Brian Callahan, Mike Borgonzi, Chad Brinker. They said that they're going to give him an opportunity to win the job. He is the quarterback under contract. I just want to see how he bounces back after this adversity that he faced, Parker. And I mean, Levis himself, earlier in the season, he actually talked about how he plans to bounce back. Now, this was after he got benched, and he was very visibly, upset. And who wouldn't be, after being benched? But here's what Levis had to say when we talked to him at his locker last season, midway through when he got benched.
I think that that's the end of the conversation. I still believe that I can be the franchise quarterback for this team. I have the utmost confidence in myself and my ability to lead any team in this league. And I think that this year was great development for me, and I think that I truly did improve. And sure as heck don't want to go out like that, and I know that there's a positive future for me, whether it's here or somewhere else, and I just gotta have the conversations I need to here, and hopefully I can show and prove that I can still be the guy.
You've seen other quarterbacks like Bryce Young, the guy you're going to see this week, Anthony Richardson. They've been benched and they came back. Do you look at that at all and kind of apply yourself to it?
A little different with just three games left, but yeah, obviously, I think they both did a great job of handling it the right way and keeping their heads straight and, staying prepared because they were able to come back and perform better when they came back, I believe. So, it happens to some of the best quarterbacks in the history of this game. And, I remember the last time I got benched, I came back with the fury and played the best ball of my life the year after. So, I see a similar thing happening for me.
So there you have it right there, Will Levis. He said that, he wants to come back with a vengeance like he did before. Do you think that benching and the opportunity to work with Jordan Palmer and all of that happened, do you think that could help him at all? Does that raise your confidence level at all in how he could possibly come back?
At this point in Will Levis's career, I think it's pretty safe to say that the only direction he can go is forward, because it's been pretty much close to, if not rock bottom, in his career in Nashville. But he's definitely taken the right approach training with Jordan Palmer, who is renowned as one of the best quarterback trainers / developers in the entire NFL. I definitely think that's the right thing for him to do. But I think where the difference is between last offseason and this offseason is, last offseason he was the assumed starter, and it was about finding out what Will Levis is about, who he is, what he can do on the football field. Well, we got a picture of that, and now this year, are the Titans going to bring in somebody else? Probably. Or we don't know for certain. But at least allow Will Levis to compete and show what he can do. But nothing should be guaranteed for him.
Yeah, no, I agree. Nothing should be guaranteed for him. Let me ask you this, though, because you look at the situation, because a lot of the Will Levis advocates, they'll say, hey, that offensive line, as bad as they were, I don't care who you are, you're not going to succeed behind them. And then they'll point to the game where Mahomes struggled against the Eagles. I mean, to their point, the right tackle position, like their right tackle group gave up more sacks than any other right tackle group in the daggone league. But do you put any weight into that?
Definitely. I think that that could play a small role in this, or maybe even a larger role. But then my mind automatically goes back to the Bears game, the Jets game, the Packers game, those unnecessary mistakes that were made that cost the Titans at least 3 wins. And that's just early on in the season. He did look a little bit better after he was benched and came back, and he performed really well, I thought, in the Commanders games, and there were a couple other games sprinkled in where he did fine, but it wasn't anything jaw-dropping. But then after that, it seemed like he kind of went back to his old ways to kind of close out the regular season. So I don't know how much the line plays a role in this. I know for Shadur, it was at the college level, but he had a horrendous offensive line and yet was still able to produce. Joe Burrow went to a Super Bowl behind a terrible offensive line. Those are – it varies case to case, but – yes, it could play a role, but I also think there's a little bit more to Will Levis than just the offensive line.
Yeah, and you know what? You mentioned Shadur, and here's the thing, right? Shadur didn't have those throws where you're like, exactly what Brian Callahan said when Levis walked off the, you know, off the field after one of his mistakes. You know, what the beep, beep, beep are you thinking? You know what I mean? You didn't see those from Shadur despite being behind that terrible offensive line. And one more thing with him real quick, and then we'll get back to Levis, because there's an exercise I want to do. A lot of his throws, like, he had a good amount, and it's funny because that's what Cam Ward got on him about. And I love the banter that they have back and forth, and Deion Sanders Jr. is doing a great job of making sure that gets shared, you know what I mean, and filming it. And then Darrell Colbert, their QB coach, just putting them in competitive situations. But Cam Ward said, you know, yeah, most of your throws are checkdowns. And if you look at the numbers, yeah, there's a good amount. I think he may have thrown more yards at or behind or within 5 yards, more throws within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. I think he may have thrown more than pretty much all other quarterbacks. But an argument about that could be made in that not only did they not have a good offensive line, so you got to have a quick passing game, but they also didn't have a running game. So in essence, those five-yard throws, those throws at the line of scrimmage, the bubble screens and those things, that's the rushing game. When you look at Shadur overall, I mean, is that something you take into account?
Absolutely. I watched Colorado very intently the last 2 years, and I literally thought to myself, all right, their defense was not great. They don't have a run game. Their offensive line can't block anyone. But he has great receivers on the outside. But if you look at Shadur, he put that ball exactly where it needed to be almost every time. He was probably the most precise passer in college football the last 2 years. And here's something that I think is interesting. If you consider the quartet of receivers that Colorado had, you take out Travis Hunter, Colorado's still able to produce because you have guys like Will Shepard and LeJonte Webster and guys like that. Travis Hunter was arguably the greatest receiver in college football last season, but Shadur was still able to produce without Travis Hunter.
Yeah, spreading the football around that and the leadership part of it. So I think it's pretty clear, right? If it's a rookie, it's pretty clear what route we would suggest going. But I want to bring it back to the veteran part of it, right? And we continue to mention a bridge quarterback. So I want to just look at some of the guys who are set to be free agents. I'm going to say their name, and you're going to compare them to Will Levis. Like, you just say, okay, yes or no. Sam Darnold.
Yes, but I don't know if what's going to happen in Minnesota. He may stay there. He may not. But if he becomes available.
And that's obviously the direction this exercise is doing. Yeah. If Minnesota signs him, like, we're not even going to mention it. This is under the presumption that Sam Darnold is available.
If he becomes available, I'd be perfectly fine giving him a 1 year deal.
Do you think he would do a 1 year deal? I couldn't see him doing that. Like, if I'm his agent right now, this is the time to strike. He's coming up the best season of his year. I'm not taking anything less than a 3 year deal.
I definitely think he made himself a lot of money last season. That's for sure. But I would not trust Sam Darnold because it was one season. Now, it was a great season, but it was one season. I would not feel comfortable at this point in time moving forward with Sam Darnold as my franchise guy.
Okay, so maximum 2-year deal.
Yeah.
No more than that.
I'd give him a 2-year deal. I'd give him a 2-year deal.
Okay, so you Sam Darnold on a 2-year deal over Will Levis. Okay. These could be quick because I'm pretty sure what direction you're going. Zach Wilson.
No.
Trey Lance.
No.
Jacoby Brissett.
Nope.
I'm not going to say Mariota. Drew Lock.
No.
Jarrett Stidham.
No.
Pop. Joe Flacco.
Nope.
Jameis Winston.
He'd be fun to cover, but I would probably take him over Will Levis.
Okay. Mac Jones.
No.
Carson Wentz.
No.
It's crazy to believe Carson is 32 years old. Wow. Jimmy Garoppolo.
No.
Okay. Well, here's one that nobody talks about, but it's one you have to bring into the conversation. Mason Rudolph.
That is tough. I'd probably be okay signing him to be a backup again, but
okay. He told me he wants to come back when I asked him. So we'll see what happens there. Russell Wilson.
Yes. I would take him over Will Levis. Probably along the same lines of Sam Darnold, you know, a 2-year deal max.
Okay. So now we're going to get Justin Fields.
That's interesting with Justin Fields because he's kind of one of those guys that has shown flashes of what he can do, but he's not polished all the way. So I don't know. I would probably rather draft a quarterback than bring in Justin Fields, but if it's between Justin Fields and Will Levis, I'll take Justin.
Okay, so that's so far 3 quarterbacks over him being Will Levis. Now, here's the last one we're going to do, and this is one that's intriguing. I probably wouldn't do it, but Daniel Jones. And again, this is under the assumption that he's currently a pending free agent.
I would probably say no, but Daniel Jones did have that one good-ish season under Brian Daboll in New York. But I don't feel comfortable with Daniel Jones, so I'll say no.
Right. And then we'll go with a couple wild cards. Obviously, with 3. Aaron Rodgers is going to be pending. He's going to be a free agent. We know that. I think they're going to do it post-June 1st. So, you know, there's some gymnastics that have to go along with it. But Aaron Rodgers.
I'm beginning to like the idea of Aaron Rodgers a little bit more. Don't you think it's so interesting about how people are kind of scared of the quote-unquote circus that would come with drafting Shadur and the whole his relation to Deion Sanders and everything? But Aaron Rodgers is his own circus in himself. So
yeah.
I think that personality would not mesh well in Nashville. I think that there's a lot of newness in the Titans building, a lot of, you know, Brian Callahan, a first-time-year head coach last season. Mike Bergonzi, a first-year GM. Chad Brinker, he's kind of newer to this role. I think Aaron Rodgers' personality would be way too big to fit in the Titans building.
Yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, you're right. It would be an interesting match for sure. It's one that you got to consider, but yeah, I'm with you on that.
I think he played good football towards the end for the Jets. So, if it's between Will Levis and Aaron Rodgers, I'd probably go on Aaron Rodgers. But, again, I don't know how his personality would mesh in Nashville.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's one. We'll see. Hey, he bought land here, so you never know. Derek Carr.
Yes, I'd take Derek Carr over Will Levis.
Yeah, I would be more inclined to do it. Just the price is one I have to do. So I will wrap it up with this one. And man, there's a lot of chatter about this. And like Derek Carr, ties to Brian Callahan. Matthew Stafford has ties to Brian Callahan. But, I mean, we know the Rams aren't going to release him. Like, he's not going to be a free agent. So it's going to require trade capital, you know, draft capital to trade Matthew Stafford. What are your thoughts?
Well, if the Titans are placing as much importance on draft currency as they say they are, then I wouldn't trade for Stafford. Just considering, this is nothing against, you know, how he plays. I still think Matthew Stafford is one of the more underrated quarterbacks that's talked about nationally. I love Matthew Stafford. I would love to have him here. But if I'm giving up draft capital to get him, I don't think I would do it.
Oh, shoot, I had it muted. No, I agree. I agree. I wouldn't be willing to give up the capital that would be required to get him. So that was a pretty fun exercise. So we came out with Russell Wilson, Sam Darnold at a two-year deal, Derek Carr, Aaron Rodgers. Those are four of the options. So we'll see what happens. But that's what we just did, folks. That's exactly what Mike Borgonzi, A.J. Highsmith, Chad Brinker, Brian Callahan, Nick Holtz. That's what these guys are going to have to do. Bohart agrees. So we'll see what happens. And, you know, I'll sneak this in there, too, because it kind of floated under the radar. Bohart agreed was a pretty solid candidate for the Bears offensive coordinator job. He went and interviewed and spent some time there. So, I mean, there's clearly something there that, you know, Ben Johnson thought would work. I believe they spent some time together, I want to say, with the Dolphins. But nevertheless, that's an interesting nugget to slide in there. So we're going to go ahead and go to a break. We got a special treat for you guys coming up. Avery Williamson, former Titans linebacker. We'll be right back.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
Cadillacs, 24s, Tennessee, pimping, super fly, whiskey, drink.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. We're going to keep this thing moving. And, hey, you heard Kevin Byard, a former Titan, bring us back. So it's only right we bring in another former Titan. And this is another fan favorite. I know you guys always love the energy that he played with. I loved it watching from afar in Philly. We got Avery Williamson, linebacker, well, former linebacker, and now a guy doing big things. What's up, Avery?
What's going on?
Ain't nothing, man. I'm chilling. Look at that. Look, you're laid back. Our voice toned me down, man. I'm over here turned up. You are some cool guy stuff.
We can take it there. We can take it there.
Hey, look. Hey, listen, I just feed off of energy, man. Whatever energy you give, I'm gonna bring it too. So
I'm really excited though on the inside.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We now hey look, Mobb Deep made a song about it. It's called Quiet Storm. So, you know, we'll leave it at that. I know you have some things coming up in the city. It's gonna be dope to have you back in the 615. I wanna start with that. Let the listeners know what you got going on.
Man, so back in Tennessee now, I'm doing something big for my community, man. So I'm actually opening up my first salon suite. It's in Milan, Tennessee. It's going to be a very, very big event. We're going to have a lot of different names out. And this is going to be something that my city has never seen, this area hasn't seen before. And I'm just super pumped to bring it to the area. And also, I'm working on something in Nashville as well, man. We're going to have I don't know if I'm supposed to promote it or not, having a very, very nice private dinner function. And I don't know if I can say the location yet.
We'll keep Avery. We'll keep it on the low. And those that need to know, they'll be told. Let's put it that way. Because we could always circle back and we could talk about it again. So definitely know, Nashville, there's something coming up.
Heck yeah. So, man, I'm just super excited to take the all the experiences that I've had since I've been done playing and finally be able to put it into something and actually reap the benefits of it, man. So that's really the biggest thing, you know, when you're transitioning out of sports or whatever. I mean, it could just be a job as well. When you're transitioning, man, it's tough. And it's always an entry game, but it's never an exit game. And they don't teach you that. So, man, I'm just so thrilled and excited to be able to showcase what I've been working on.
You know, the biggest thing just I never played in the league. I played in college. But, like, for me, when the structure is stripped away, you're like, yo, like, what am I going to do? And then you miss the camaraderie and, like, just, like, having a squad that you're with every day. Is that something that kind of is the biggest thing for you?
Yeah. You know, the biggest thing, like you said, is structure. You know, I was did 8 years. So, I mean, and then you count football when you played in school. So, you have a structure. You go to school. You got practice. You got your homework. And that's continuous up until the pros, man. And you know, you're not in school anymore, but you have a strict schedule. And when you have nothing to do, it can really take a toll on you, for real. So, man, it was a tough transition, just like, man, what the hell do I do every day? So yeah, like the structure. And, yeah, the locker room, man, you miss the guys. Like, it's you get used to being around everybody, like, almost every day. And a lot of guys are with – I mean, we're with our teammates more than our actual family. So they become your family.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, they say idle hands are idle time is the time of the devil. But, you know, it seemed like in your downtime, like you came up with a brilliant idea, the salon suites. That's something that I – let the listeners know about that, because this concept is awesome. And real talk is something that I had been in the thoughts of doing. So it's just crazy when you said salon suites. I'm like, wow. So just let them know, you know, what it is that – You're going to be doing.
Yeah, and to circle back, it wasn't all sweet, man. Like, that process was a grind. It was a lot of mental, you know what I'm saying, just trying to stay mentally strong through it all, because it was a lot of failures leading up to to these wins that are about to happen. There's a whole lot of failures. So, man, it was really just keep myself focused, staying on course. But, nah, this salon suite, man, it's something that I really didn't know what I wanted to bring to my city, and I knew I wanted to do something fun, something that was for everybody, and I wanted to bring something nice. I wanted to bring a taste of what I've seen from playing football out, you know, different states, across the country, across the world, what I've seen. I'm like, man, let me bring it here. So this is going to be a unique space that you can literally do it's where you can relax and have fun. And it's just a multitude of different things within one. And it's I got more ideas, man. I got space to grow, and I'm just slowly seeing what's going to work, what's not going to work, and then add to that. I can't say everything right now what's going to be in it, but
hey, moving silence, brother.
Yeah, I am going to have two golf simulator rooms, two private luxury golf simulator rooms. I've announced that already, and I think that's really going to be like the biggest draw in for the space. And I just feel like, I know people love golf, and with us not having a Topgolf between Memphis and Nashville, I'm like, yo, we need something that can really, you know, people can go in there and experience a golf game and not have to have a membership and pay a lot of money out, you know, to a golf course.
That's dope, man. Feel the demand. That's the way you do it.
I watched Myron Golden. He's on YouTube, and he always says you have to find the suffering sector. And entertainment around here is lacking in a sense. So I'm asking people, like, what do you do on the weekends? I just chill, have some beers, or I drive to Memphis. I'm like, well, shoot, if they drive to Memphis to go do something, I mean, people, they'll drive 25, 30 minutes, you know, go down the street just to, you know, do something fun. So.
Yeah.
Like, let me fill a need that's in West Tennessee.
No doubt about it. We're talking to Avery Williamson, former NFL linebacker, specifically on this sense, former Titans linebacker. Avery, I want to go back to 2015, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going into that year, right, 2-14 the previous year, and it was just one of those years that it was basically one of the worst for the franchise, you know, especially since they moved here. The leadership, like, it was you know, Morgan, Arakpo. You know, how did you guys kind of, like, put that behind you and move into the following season?
It was, you know, it's definitely something that you don't have fun with. It's not a good taste to go 2-14. I mean, I came into the league that 14 year, and, yeah, we went 2-14 that year. And then the next year, I think it was, like, Was it 2-14 again or 3? I can't remember.
I think it was 3.
Yeah.
I think it was 3, but I'll double check to be sure. But we'll put it this way. Yeah. It wasn't good.
It wasn't good. So, man, when Rack, when he got signed, that was like a really big, that was really big. And that really helped, you know, the confidence, you know, I mean, we need a pass rush. And that helped us out in that sense, but also a leadership standpoint as well. And, man, we just collectively got better, you know, with the organization getting the right people in the doors. And it just, we collectively got better and we worked hard. And we really had a brotherhood. That was, I would definitely say that the Titans was like my closest knit team. And it was a blast, man, looking back, you know, towards the end of my stint there, my last year. It sucks because I wasn't able to enjoy it as much because I'm worried about, you know, where I'm gonna be at contract and stuff, and I'm like, man, like I really miss I wish I could go back and just really soak it out, you know, soak it in more. It was definitely a brotherhood, and man, we worked hard, and when we was out there like playing, it's just like everybody's just locked in. Like we really had a good team, and I was just glad to be a part of that and getting the Titans back to a playoff berth. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
And something I can always hang my hat on.
And you mentioned that because the following season, 9-7, you are correct, it was 3-13. So 2-14, 3-13, and then boom, 9-7.
Yeah.
How do you avoid? Yeah, like I mean, you win five games in 2 years. That loser mindset could sink in for some. How did you guys avoid that?
I mean, start racking together the wins. You have to figure out how to mentally tell yourself, "Hey, we're not gonna lose it in the end." Because you can get in that position where it's like, fourth quarter, like we're doing good, and then something bad happens, and boom, like everybody's everybody's mind just shifts and like, we're about to lose again. So it's a mentality of saying, "Hey, no, we're not gonna lose. We're about to fix the issue. Somebody's gonna get a turnover. Somebody's gonna do this." And we're going to win the game. And then once you realize, boom, you get one, then you get two. And like, hey, you know, we can close games in clutch times. And that's how you really start stacking. And just not taking the foot off the gas.
See, folks, he said it, right? Momentum is real. And this is
– oh, it's definitely real.
This is coming from Avery Williamson, NFL linebacker. So it's coming from someone that been there and done that. I'm glad that you said that on the momentum side of things because – like my analytics guys, like we always get into it and they're like, well, you can't put a formula or algorithm on it, so it's not real. Bro, when you're out there and you feel the game shift, like you feel it. You feel it.
I'll tell you the perfect example. My first year with the Jets, we're playing the Browns. It was Thursday night, I believe. And man, I'm having a hell of a game. I'm killing it. I end up getting my second sack on what's his name? Who was the quarterback for the Browns?
In 2018?
No. Yeah, 2018. I can't think of his name.
Was that Google Kaiser?
No, it wasn't Kaiser. He used to play for the Bills.
Browns to Bills. Oh, you were Bills to Browns. You stumped me.
All right. Well, we'll look it up later. But so I get my second sack of the game. I'm on top of the world, and we're about to go into halftime. And after I sacked him, I saw that he got hurt. And I'm like, okay, you know, they'll bring in whoever else. So that last drive before half, they bring in I'm really blanking on names right now. Who's the Tampa Bay quarterback?
That's with them now?
Yeah.
Oh, so you went from Tyrod Taylor to Baker Mayfield.
Tyrod Taylor, yeah. So yeah. They bring in this kid, Baker Mayfield. And I'm talking smack like, hey, like, we about to do the same thing. And, man, when I tell you momentum shifted, like, when they brought him in, the crowd got hyped. The energy, you just feel it. And he came in there, had a successful drive. I don't think they scored, but they got a field goal. And I'm like, hey, next, you know, when you come back out of halftime, like, it's game on, rookie. So, you know, we're talking smack, but complete momentum shift. They come back. They beat us. That was their first win. Because they had lost every game the season before. That was their first win on us. And, like, the momentum just shifted completely. And we couldn't do nothing about it. It was like one of the things, like, literally everything was going bad for us. So, yeah, no, momentum is for real. Analytics, throw that out the window.
Well, look, I always tell them, you know, analytics are nothing new. Like back in the day, we called them tendencies. So it's like it's not a new thing, but the emphasis is stronger. I like how you mentioned, right, and here's the thing. Baker Mayfield, number one pick, he came in to replace the quote-unquote bridge quarterback. The Titans are in the same situation where they could have a number one pick, whether it's Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, and they could have a bridge, whoever that may be, and you see how that could shift the momentum. I don't know if you follow the Titans situation, but what do you make if you have followed it? What do you think? What should they do at quarterback?
I haven't followed it closely and not close enough to make a GM decision. So, but, you know, with the inefficiency that they've been having, it's kind of one of the things where you gotta go with somebody. And, you know, it sucks. Man, I was pulling hard for Will.
Yeah.
And, you know, but at the end of the day, it's a business. And it's a production business. And, you know, if you aren't, you know, producing the right way, man, there, you know, you got to go on to the next. So it's so tough to, like, people ask me, like, who would you draft? I don't know, because it's so many factors that go into, like, picking somebody. And, like, man, you know, you could get a draft pick and they fall and break their leg and the next day and they don't recover from it. Well, it's just so many different things that could happen. And you got to really just roll the dice and see what's going to work. Like, I'm sure that every franchise that picked over Lamar Jackson, they wish they would have got him. Mm. I mean, we had the opportunity to pick Josh Allen at the Jets, and we passed up on him. So, you know, it's really the roll of a dice, and you just got to hope and pray that your pick works out. But you got to go with the quarterback. You got to have somebody that's going to, you know, lead the franchise, and you got to build around it.
Yeah, no, that's it right there, the face of the franchise. The thing that I love now is the look of that face of the franchise is ever-evolving. So we'll see whether it's Shedeur, whether it's Cam Ward, or whoever it may be, man. Avery, before we get you out of here, how can people keep up with what you have going on? Because I know these listeners are going to be interested.
Most definitely, man. Make sure y'all go to my Instagram, awilliamson54, and also I'll be posting stuff on the actual Wild Studios page. It's Wild Studios Tennessee. So make sure y'all go and follow and just share it to people, man. March 8th is going to be really big. We're going to have a big celebration, man. I'm super excited. We're setting the street down, and it's going to be fun, man. Nice little block party.
That's what's up. There you have it right there. Avery Williamson, former Titans linebacker. I'm thinking about receivers because we're going to talk about that next. So that's my bad. But, yeah, man, I appreciate you coming on and definitely keep in touch.
Thank you very much, man. Look forward to talking soon.
No doubt.
So that was Avery Williamson, Titans inside linebacker. Obviously, he has a lot going on. So make sure, you know, as his things continue to pop up, you show your support, man. He later on the line for you guys, and he's always going to be a Titans favorite. Every time I mention his name, you know, you guys seem to have a little buzz with it. So appreciate him coming on. Parker, we rocked it out, man. Appreciate you stepping in, and it was good having the back and forth, man. And you know what? Above all else, I appreciate each of you for listening. You guys continue to rock with us. It's so dope when I'm out and about and I get to meet you guys, you know, people. Yeah, you come up, you introduce yourself, man. I love getting to meet the different folks who support this show and just support TD, you know, me overall. So thank you for all that. Definitely continue to rock with us. You can check us out, Talking with TD, on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. Again, search Talking with TD, subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.